Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet.
"Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey."
The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their clothes on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowd shouted that went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted,
"Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heavens!"
When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowd answered,
"This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
This is the word of the Lord.
Lord.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the message that it brings to us, telling us of that first Palm Sunday where Jesus entered Jerusalem. We pray that we too can respond like that crowd did, and welcoming you into our hearts as we listen to what your word means for us today. Amen. So, as we've already shown, we are looking at Palm Sunday. We'd been a bit of a swerve if I'd suddenly decided, right, we're going to move back, we're going to do something else instead. But no, we're sticking with Palm Sunday. And as I've already mentioned, we're looking at prophecy from Palm Sunday. And we're going to be looking at what Matthew links when we heard in our reading the prophecy that he speaks of for what happened when Jesus was coming down. Now, the prophecy that we heard read to us, it comes from the book of Zechariah. Now, that's not to be confused with Zephaniah, who's another prophet with a book named after him, and it's not to be confused with Zechariah, who's the father of John the Baptist. This is Zechariah, and it's referencing Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. However, there is more than our reading tells us. Now, that's not because Matthew's trying to hide anything. It's not because he forgot anything or anything like that, but he knew that he was talking to an audience, or writing to an audience, I should say, that would know the Old Testament. So when he mentions the prophecy, he's saying, here it is, you know the rest of it, but here's what it's connected to. So let's have a look at it. Here's the prophecy in full. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So this is the verse that Matthew refers to. And for those of you that have your Bibles open where our reading was from Matthew, you'll notice the things that Matthew didn't cover in his brief reference to it. And this prophecy is a key pointer to what is to come. Not just in a week's time, but for eternity. So what does it tell us? First thing, rejoice greatly. The prophecy says rejoice greatly. Now, Some might see this and think that this is something that's a mere coincidence, particularly when you consider that the crowd that was shouting all these amazing things just 5 days later changed their tune entirely. However, this tells us that there is a reason to celebrate. There's a reason why people were waving palm branches. There's a reason why they were spreading their cloaks on the ground. There's a reason why they were shouting. And when the Bible says that there's a reason to celebrate, you can be sure that it's because God is going to do something that we need to be done for us. So the crowd were right to celebrate. They just didn't understand the reason why. Then we have, "Behold, your king is coming to you." The prophecy tells us to look and we will see our king. And this is not just any old king, because if you were to look a few verses later in Zechariah, you see that this king is the Lord God. And it's important to note as well that there have been many times previously where Jesus escaped a crowd that were going to declare him king. But this time, Jesus welcomes it. Indeed, he goes out of his way to show that he is accepting that title. And so they declare Jesus as the son of David. Another very clear reference, referencing the kingly line of Israel. But this is not just a descendant of the line of King David. This is also the king of all creation. Then we see the prophecy say, "He is just." Now, when we hear the word just, we may think of it having a connection with the law and judgment. The word justice might come to mind straight away. And while Jesus is going to come again to judge us, that's not what the word is referring to here. To say someone doing what is just means they are doing what is right. And in saying Jesus is just, we're saying that doing what is right is a part of his character. And this affirms that Jesus has spent his whole life doing the will of the Father, doing what is right. The next part talks of having salvation. This part of the prophecy points us to the whole reason for Jesus being born as a man. He came to save those who believe in him from the punishment that their sins deserve. And just as being just is a part of Jesus' character, we see here that it's not that he's bringing salvation, but he has salvation. Salvation is part of his very essence, part of his being. He is salvation. Jesus is our Saviour. Not because he simply chose to, but because bringing salvation is who he is and what he does. And by fulfilling this prophecy in how he enters Jerusalem, Jesus is proclaiming what he is there to do. Then we come to riding on a donkey. Now, hands up if you've ever seen a king riding on a donkey, or a queen for that matter. No? What king rides around on a donkey? See, before they invented the car, They still cared about what model you travelled in. Only back then it wasn't about Mercedes or Ferrari over Skoda or Lada. It was about the quality of the animal that you rode on. And kings would ride on the most impressive horse that they had. Not a donkey. Donkeys were used for carrying heavy loads and other general menial work. Working animals, not animals of prestige. But in riding on a donkey, Jesus is showing who he is and what sort of a king he really is. Indeed, he goes even further. He rides on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Not only does Jesus ride a donkey, he rides a young donkey. Now back then, a colt was fairly useless. Just like how when we see the children brought to Jesus and he welcomes them, we can see that that's an amazing thing because the children were considered to be fairly useless and worthless because they weren't able to do anything. The same with a young donkey. Because a donkey didn't have the prestige of there's the sire, there's the father of the horse. We can tell just how amazing this horse is going to be. No, this is just a donkey, just a baby donkey who's never done any lifting, never shown how good they might be with lugging things around. It's even lower than an adult donkey. And yet, Jesus rides on it. It would have been seen as humbling for defeated kings. Yet Jesus rode on this donkey. This humble method of entering Jerusalem shows us that Jesus came to be a humble king, a servant king. I think there's a song about that somewhere. The humble and servant king. Jesus wasn't a king who would be riding out to war on his impressive stallion. He was a humble servant king, one who washed his disciples' feet, who entered on a lowly young donkey to show the world that his way of being king was different from the way that humans have been kings both before and since. Because Jesus was the true king. And so as I draw to a close, I leave you with this thought. We're less than a week away from remembering when this humble servant king was nailed to a cross, where our own actions put him there, and where we could very easily have been one of those calling for Jesus to be crucified. When we read the words, crucify him, that could have been us. And yet, on this day, we can see from what is prophesied that we too can behold our King who is just and has salvation for all who believe in him. Our King who humbled himself to save us, and who is the servant king, who gives us both hope for the future and a model on how we can live our lives. However, unlike many of those who cheered Hosanna on that first Palm Sunday, we can know why we rejoice greatly. Because we can know that Jesus came to die to save us so that we can have a relationship with the Father through him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the journey that your Son took. That Jesus took that journey willingly for us, and so on that Palm Sunday, knew what he was going towards. That whilst everyone was celebrating, he knew what was to come. And so we thank you that he did it, for it means that we can have a relationship with you. Amen.